Welcome back to the Insiders Lounge. Today we have another special guest, Justin. Thank you for joining me and feel free to introduce yourself.
Thanks for having me, Chad. Yeah, my name is Justin Solomon. I work right now as the video coach for the Philadelphia Union Academy. So I work from the U-12s all the way up to the U-17s. Kind of oversee the analysis and more on that side of the academy. So, yeah.
All right, we'll get into things. First, the first memories you had in football, and what were those early memories as a child growing up?
I mean, yeah, I think one of the big ones, kind of the early days when I was living in San Diego and like AYSO soccer and just playing it like just the purest of grassroots football, like just going out there and just having as much fun as possible. And I think that's probably the earliest. And then some of the most probably fond of those were when I started to kind of get into like the more competitive side, you know, under 11, under 12, more traveling and all that. So that's probably as early down as it goes from those memories.
And then you have a bit of an interesting career. So we'll get into more of the working side and what you're working on now. But before we get into that, let's actually go through kind of your playing career. If you can speak on some of your early experiences, like you mentioned, but also getting more into your time. I know you're at Seattle Sounders for a little bit, and I know you've kind of been able to play in many different areas of the world. So do you mind just kind of giving a quick overview of what it was like?
Yeah, for sure. Like kind of just the start on that. I played on a, you know, a premier team back then, the competitive team. So we were traveling around a lot. And then, I started to kind of work into like playing with ODP teams. So I played in like Oregon's ODP, played with Washington's ODP team, kind of region four setup and all that. That was until I was about 15, 16 or so. And then, ended up getting a spot with the Seattle Sounders Academy, the under 18s. So I was there for 2 years. Really, really enjoyed that. I mean, just the learning and all that aspect of it. From there, I ended up playing with the under 23s for a season. And then from there, I went to Australia, and that's where I went back to the club, kind of where I'm from. I kind of just reached out, and I didn't see anything coming. And it just, I think it was just good to be there and then play in the NPL Queensland. So it's like more or less a second division there. Was there, and then for a season, and then then I kind of just stopped because of a myriad of reasons.
What was the reason behind going to Australia? I know that's kind of like a unique pathway for most people to go from Seattle Sounders to Australia. Yeah. Can you give us some more context on that and what was behind the decision making?
Yeah, I mean, I think at that point, like, it might not have been the right decision, but I kind of saw how things were going in the U.S. I was a very like technical player, a player who quick, short passes and keep possession and all these types of things. And then I kind of saw like how my career would go in the U.S. Going forward. And I was always like all through my playing days, I was always like really conscious of things and try to, you know, research and try to see, get opinions and all that. And so eventually I kind of just took like a flyer and going to Australia. It's like I said, like I was born in the Sunshine Coast and played with the club there. And I thought it would just kind of be good to also be near family because I hadn't been, my home mom's side is from Australia. And so I kind of wanted to play in front of them too. That was like a big thing that like they could drive an hour and a half or so and come and see me in person. They never really had that chance growing up. So that was kind of my idea, my thinking going there.
And for those that don't know the sort of Australian system and the way things are played, what are the major differences between, you mentioned how you're a more technical player and that might have suited you a bit better. So what were some of the sort of key differences between the setups there?
Well, you know, something that I didn't really know before I got there was just how absolutely important like the physical side of it is. Like the physicality, I always, you know, I was always around a lot of like physically gifted players growing up and that's where football still in the U.S. wasn't so technical kind of as it is now. And those types of players weren't so appreciated. So I always thought that like, okay, like I know how to handle, you know, a physical setup, a physical league and players like that. But then when I went to Australia, it was like a whole nother beast. I mean, I couldn't believe just how big guys were, how fast, how physical, the emphasis on it all the time. And it was really like a transition that I never even saw coming.
And then speaking on transitions, let's get into sort of the coaching and analysis side. What were some of the transitions from playing to coaching? Where did that come and how did it work out for you?
Yeah, so I stopped playing. I was around 22, 23 or so, and then still had opportunities to play. After my season in Australia, I left a really bad taste in my mouth, and the USL and all that here in the U.S. wasn't kind of ready. So I wasn't ready to kind of keep going with the way things were. Kind of afraid to just keep going like that in a sense. And I was actually in Mexico for several years. And from there, I was kind of on the peripheral of the game. I would train some individuals here and there, and then help the friend in his academy a little bit with finding players, but I wasn't really like full-fledged into it. So just a couple of years ago, I started to think like now is the time to, because I always wanted to get back into it. I just needed some time and kind of space from the game. And when I saw this opportunity here in Philly, in the analysis side, I kind of just jumped at it and just really wanted to get back in the U.S. and get back and be around high caliber players.
And what was the experience like applying for the position at Philly? How did you get connected and how did that first come around?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a position I saw open. It was actually as an internship, and I was like, you know, I think that anytime I get a chance, I've got, you know, I was going to just take it. And I didn't know anybody at the club. Didn't really know much about Philly. I had to do a lot of research about the city, about the club, the system, all these types of things. I knew that there were some great players that came out, but I didn't know kind of the in-depth, you know, knowledge of the club. So, I just kind of went through the interview process, was offered it, and kind of just said, like, you know, we'll see at the end of the season if something can happen, and just sort of went from there.
Because you never lived or anything on the East Coast, right? It was always West Coast?
No, yeah, always West Coast. So even then, like coming here and just seeing kind of the different cultural sides. And even coming from Mexico, I mean, I've been in Mexico for almost a little over eight years, I think. And just that was also a transition to come from Mexico back to the States and just kind of learn, you know, how things, you know, like happen here after so much time.
And then you first started as an intern. Can you sort of walk us through your time there so far, the different roles that you've been able to sort of improve and grow on?
I was brought in as like I said, an intern, and then I was kind of tasked with overseeing kind of the under 14s, under 13s, and under 12s, and just sort of, tagging games and being there and kind of in tagging training and all these types of things. And then after like a month or so, that kind of transitioned into being like more involved in trainings and being more of an assistant. To kind of go through all the roles, that was kind of how I started. And then that was towards the end of the last season, the academy season. And then going into this season, I was kind of like the position changed to be like an assistant and an analyst for the 14th, 13th, 12th. So I oversaw everything in terms of video and with that group, with those groups. And then, like I said, on the field, like more so in training, I wouldn't be coding or tagging or anything, no iPad, but I would be there as an assistant for the teams. And for games still, it was kind of an interesting role. I would have an iPad and I'd be coding entire games, but also getting coaching tips and, like, you know, just trying to help players and put the iPad down for a second and say something to a player. So it helped a lot to learn that way as well, because when you could see so much of what's happening on the field and then work with a player, but also know directly, like, this is a code for this, and just be able to go back to it. It's so direct and so smooth, that transition from, okay, we saw this, I can tell you this now, but like when we're in training in a day or two, I can, before or after, I can go and show you what a little bit I was talking about. So yeah, that was up until December. And then, with some staff movements, the academy analyst who was working with the 17, 16, 15s, and moved into the second team role. And that kind of, just naturally moved me into that role.
And then you spoke on a little bit about the sort of learnings you gained from being able to be in that coaching role and the analyst role. What were some of the overall learnings just from being in that sort of academy? We spoke earlier, one of the top academies in the US now, one of the top MLS academies as well. Where are those different sort of environments? Like, where, how did you learn from that environment, and what were some of the key learnings?
Yeah, I think like probably the biggest thing is just how professional it is and how much of an emphasis to do the right things constantly and never waver from it is always there. So even small details when we're in the office, what we talk about, what we plan, how we work with a player, show video, all these things, like we do it. We or what I learned from it is that we would do it just however can be the most effective way and however we can get the most, you know, for the player and the most improvement. So just to sort of see those things without going too deep into it, it was, it just showed like what makes this academy so good and what, yeah, that's basically the best way to put it. What makes it so good and what makes everybody so good, because you're not only learning about kind of, some of the tactics of it or how to session plan and these things, but just being around the coaches and seeing how they interact with players as well too is massive. Absolutely massive.
And is there a good blend between sort of the academy, the second team, and the first team? Like, are you able to see the differences and I'm sure some of the similarities between coaching staff, tactics, or the way that the club is run on all levels?
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things that makes us great too. It's just sort of like, I don't like to use this word, but like the synergy of it. You know, it's just the way that everything is so fluid and there's no blockages, I'd say, from what you can learn or who you can learn from. Everybody's always open to the idea of sharing and just trying to make it, you know, everything better in the most part. I'm really fortunate. Our first team analyst, Jay Cooney, he's always been super open with everything to me and trying to get the best out of me as well. So I've always been really fortunate to even be in my own little department and see and learn consistently all the time. So yeah, very thankful for that too.
we were able to meet up at the GA Cup, and I wanted to just go over some points because there's a fascinating tournament where I was sort of able to get some insight from your end throughout the different games and see how the two different teams played between the U15s and the U17s. But for the listeners who don't know, GA Cup is, I think, now one of the biggest youth international tournaments, I would say, around the world. I think there was 15 different nationalities represented there between the different clubs. And so obviously the Philadelphia Union had U15s, U17s. Do you want to talk us through how the tournament went, how you felt the differences between the teams and just some of your thoughts?
Yeah, for sure. I think maybe we can start with the 15s. I mean, they played really well for the most part. I think just a couple of mistakes. I mean, ultimately, just those little margins are what didn't get us into the knockout stage. But I mean, that's I mean, it's football. It's youth football. These are the chances to learn from more than anything. So, I think there's a really valiant performance from the 15s, even though maybe they didn't get the accolade as natural from as the 17s, but. But yeah, I thought they did a lot of good things. Obviously, still things to work on, but put out some really good performances. From the 17s, yeah, I mean the team is great. So they just, you know, we had a hiccup in the group stage against FC Cincinnati, lost 2-0 there. But you know, the coaching staff were just really adamant that, like, we learned from this to the players, and that we just move on from it, and we just get better and keep it in the back of our heads. But just to learn and grow from it. But like you said too, the kind of the difference that I saw between like our teams and kind of the international teams was sort of like the technical side of it. Maybe we weren't as technical as some of those foreign teams, whether it's the 15s or the 17s, but physically we bring a lot and our system works really well. So it was kind of good to see that too, that we could kind of overcome those types of teams that play very differently than us. And I think that was kind of the reception or kind of what I heard too from a lot of the other analysts that I spoke to from the foreign teams, that kind of, yeah, there's a difference in technical ability, but, you know, physically and through the system, we can really do a lot of good things.
Hey,
And then I'm curious, how does the setup look at a tournament like that? So there, I think there were 60-minute matches sort of across the board playing every day. So there's that constant flow of games. How does the analysis side work at a tournament like that? Are you doing daily sessions with the team still looking over the gameplay from the previous game, or how does that sort of schedule look like?
Yeah, I mean it's tough. It's tough, especially like kind of working between the two teams.
Yeah,
So,
that as well, I forgot.
yeah, that's that presented a lot of challenges as well. Fortunately, like the staff is incredible, and we all put in a lot of time, and we're able to cover each other in some places when it when some things were possible. But yeah, I mean it's still kind of you try to keep things consistent where yeah we look at maybe the other team before but also kind of go through what happened in the previous game and just try and link those things up and how we can do things better or how we can take advantage of situations. So yeah, I mean it's still like I said, it's still kind of consistent to what we do during the week but also just very congested.
Hey there, if you're listening to this, you're about halfway through this week's episode, so I want to say thank you. I'm just here to quickly remind you that these episodes are free. They're free to watch, free to listen to, and all I ask in return is for you to follow, maybe like, share, comment, or even leave us a five-star review on your favorite podcasting platform. That's enough from me, though. I hope you enjoy the rest of the episode, and I'll see you in the next one. And then I was curious, I was going to ask earlier, you've sort of been able to do the full path of the player pathway where you played youth soccer growing up, you played in an MLS academy. How have you been able to turn that experience into now the coaching and analysis side when you're speaking with players and
Sort
sort
of
of
the
the day to
days.
day?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think like one of the biggest things that I've been conscious of is just being able to empathize with these players. I was in their position. I saw how close it was to, to being there with the first team and what it takes and the effort and some of the other guys I played with who made it through into the first team, just the absolute amount of work you need, but also kind of the mentality. So I think something that helps me a lot is that I've seen this. Like I've been, maybe it's not exactly the same, but I've seen a lot of these same things and kind of the pitfalls and sort of like the things you need to take advantage of just being in this kind of environment and situation.
We were speaking a lot. You've had many different experiences. You've been able to play in Australia. You had some time in Mexico where you're in the academy system a little bit and you were training. And now you're in the US and you're playing the international teams. You've been able to even visit, I know, academies like Benfica, for example. What are some of the major differences? You spoke a little bit about it, but I really want to get a little bit more in depth in it. The major differences between sort of your MLS academies, specifically in the US versus your international academies, and in terms of like the staffing structure. And I really wanted to get to the analysis side. How important is that to an MLS academy versus some of the other academies that you've been able to see?
Yeah, kind of just with the last question, like there's still some academies, I mean, just from what I've kind of been around and seen that don't maybe value it as much. I don't know. I can't kind of put myself in their minds, but some clubs that maybe don't look at it with the same value that we do here. Maybe in the MLS side and I don't know so much about those foreign teams, but yeah, like from the analysis side, I think we just try to get the best out of what we have and the resources, and we are really fortunate to have these types of things. But also, it's impressive to see what the European sides or some of the South American and all these foreign clubs they're in a lot of ways they're kind of maybe the bigger clubs are more so the standard, and we're just it's good to learn from them. Like I said, like you said, like just being around a club like Benfica, or I was able to visit Everton and keep in contact with a couple of the analysts out there, and just to be able to see the differences as well of the way our practices are and the way they do things. It's yeah, it's exciting almost. It's exciting to see what the opportunities are and what's out there and how others do things.
Yeah, it gives you a vision for growth, I think, which is a key aspect. It's almost inspiring in a sense.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And then we spoke a little bit about the call. We were sort of discussing the coach, the mix of coaching and analysis side now. It's sort of becoming more prevalent where you're starting to see top coaches at high levels come from that analysis side or the sports science side, learning the coaching as well and being able to bring that as a blend. Where do you think that sort of combination comes from, and what are some of the ideal factors of being a really strong analyst, but also a coach at the same time?
Another good question. I think we've kind of viewed this and been conscious of it, but it's really good to, when you're on the analysis side and you're able to code and you're able to put together presentations and you're able to kind of put these ideas and package them for players, it's great, sort of off the field when there's, whether with our players at the school or before or after training, but then also to be able to kind of connect those ideas with your coaching and to see like, okay, I've already gone through previous matches and I've really kind of gone in depth, but then, and you start to see some of the weaknesses and strengths of players, for instance, and then not only are you seeing that in the video, but then you're going out in the field and you're able to demonstrate, or you're able to speak with a player about it and some of these things that you've sort of noticed. So yeah, it kind of goes vice versa and it overcrosses in so many different ways where what you watch on video is what you see on the field. It's just naturally going to be like that. So then to be able to connect them, is really a big thing.
And then I wanted to get your opinion. When I was in Europe, I was able to watch a few academy games at different age groups. And the question was always, okay, how does it compare to the MLS? How does it compare to North America? And I wasn't really able to say anything because it felt sort of a similar level when I was watching, but I hadn't been able to compare where at GA Cup you saw a European side versus an MLS side right in front of you. What are some of the kind of the differences? I wanted to know the differences between the age groups as well, because I noticed at like the U15 age group, you really see them still as young boys, but then as soon as you get to those U17s, it's like you're seeing sort of the rise of those MLS Next Pro players, and they're almost more adult-like. They're playing at a much much faster pace, much larger size in terms of the players themselves. So what are the differences? I know when you were first with the academy, you were sort of in even as low as the U12 age group. So you've sort of been able to see the full pathway. Can you give us just some of the differences in the way that pathway works and how they the difference in playing style?
Yeah, I think for us it's really important that everything's consistent just between all the ages, and that if a player goes up or whatever the situation, that they're still comfortable with the style that we play, and that there isn't, it's not completely foreign. So ultimately, like when it comes to that, it's more so just the physical differences at every age. Like even when you bring players up from the really younger ages, like you under 12s, under 13s, like there's still a bit of that like adaptation period of like, oh, these guys are bigger and whatnot. And it's kind of the same too, like with our 14s and the 15s, or and then you, that's where you start to see it kind of taper off, not taper off, but like from 15s to 16s, yeah, that there's a big difference, but maybe not as big as the 13s or the 14s. And then when you start to get higher up, you start to see how much it closes, like the physical gaps. Even though, even like you said, the 17s, players that play in MLS Next Pro or get to that level, like, yeah, they're playing adults, but also the physical level isn't super far. I guess that's the best way to put it. So yeah, it's interesting to see those differences though daily.
And then I'm always curious, you don't get a lot of background on what analysts do, what sort of their actual job is. Sometimes people can confuse it with scouts or other sides of the different careers in terms of the academy staff. But can we get a day in the life of what it actually looks like for you in the academy?
Yeah, I mean, so in the morning, I'm in a training with our 17s, and from there, like on the pitch, I have the iPad, I'm coding, we're conscious of what we're looking for from the session, and then just trying to find those main points, and then obviously finding the good and the bad and just things we can go over, and whether it just kind of cuts off a lot of time of having to go through the whole session, and the best is the best way to put it, but also trying to find things that we can work on for the next day or show to players. From there it's into the office and just trying to get a lot of things done, whether it's putting together a presentation, a scouting presentations for the older ages, or working through video or through games of improvements for players, or painting clips for people. I mean, there's so many kind of different things that go into it, but that's where I just try to get like a whole bulk of the work done just like in the office, and get a lot of things done. So yeah, even like individually coding games, and yeah, it's there's a you never really kind of know, but it's mostly those things put together.
And then on the, I'm curious with the coaching side and the analysis side, you mentioned sort of the coding and the day-to-day work on that. And where did you actually learn those skills? Did you learn them through your internship or did you have previous experience working with them?
Yeah, actually, I'd always been like, I guess it's weird to say like analytical, but I'd always been like very cautious and tried to watch videos back just when I was growing up and things like that. And even watching Premier League matches and just trying to, you know, the DVR and like stop, start, go back and just look things over. But yeah, in terms of like the coding and the painting and putting together these presentations, you know, I was really fortunate during my internship to work with our now second team analyst, Diego Pada. And, he was really helpful in teaching me all these things that were kind of foreign to me. It made it like a really smooth transition. So, yeah, it's fortunate when you have somebody there that is like really patient with you and willing to answer the million questions you might have for them on a given day. But yeah, that was the big chunk of it was there in the internship and just seeing the resources we had available and how we use them.
I wanted to ask a new question. I've sort of added new questions to the Insider's Lounge favorites, we call them, where we ask each guest, what is your most valuable asset in terms of a thing that you, maybe it's a work ethic or something you've learned throughout your career that you would say has propelled you the furthest in terms of high the level of game that you're at now?
I think it's something like I've had to kind of grow with, but just being able to adapt. Like, I mean, there's going to be times where people ask you to do things and you might not know how to do it, but you're just going to try and learn and just get it done. Like, I mean, just no excuses and just put your head down and do that. And I think that's just trying to, you know, to adapt, whether it's, like I said, I work with basically all ages in the academy at this point. Every coach has it's all kind of under the tree of the union, but also, you know, the kind of styles that they deal with, yeah, the players, or they deal with me and everything. So just being able to kind of adapt with everybody and work to what makes everybody, or help anybody with what can make things better for them ultimately.
And then alongside that, a lot of people say with the soccer industry as a whole, it's sort of a roller coaster of emotions. You have these extreme highs when you win, and then if you lose, it's just like this constant depression, and you have to sort of battle this coaster constantly. What are some of the low points that you've had throughout your career that you're able to look back on and it motivates you to keep pushing and go further?
Yeah, I think for me, like I had two meniscus surgeries, I had a shoulder surgery, and these are kind of the things where it's like, it ultimately kind of made my playing ability kind of go down, but I always kind of thought that like, yeah, these really difficult things happen. I lost a lot of opportunities and a lot of chances to do things because of these things, but I always thought like when I was done playing that I would make it up on the back end, I guess, if that's through coaching or whatever I was going to do, maybe an analyst. That I always wanted to just think that whatever I left out there for my playing career, like I was going to put it into this like full fledged. So I think that's something that, like I said, those are really hard times, really low points, but I just try to do my best now to put it in a positive way.
And then if we have some listeners listening in and they follow along your story and they think that they might want to get involved in the analysis side and follow a similar journey to you, do you have advice for people that are looking to follow that pathway?
Yeah, I think like a big thing on that is just first just studying the game. I know there's even a lot of players or a lot of people who didn't play and they want to get into, you know, sort of the analysis side. And I think it's just important to just study as much as you can and just learn as much as you possibly can. And then try to be able to find a way to apply that, whether through that's like tagging, coding sort of thing through maybe a program, or if you can find a free program, or even just shadow somebody. And then, just, I think that's a big thing too, just try to reach out to people and learn from them and see what they can do. Or if it's, like I said, if it's an intern, even just shadowing, like just being around people who are kind of in the industry or whatnot is going to be massive. And everybody does the analysis side different. It's not, I have a friend who told me, it's just like, there's no right way to do this, like no perfect way to do this. So no matter who you learn from, just try and take it and roll with it, I guess.
If we spoke let's say 5 to 10 years ago, you would have been in a completely different place. You probably would have never believed that you'd be working with Philadelphia Union now. So now if we look 5 to 10 years in the future, where do you think you'll be in terms of your career, your personal life? Where do you think things will end up?
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely right on the first point. But yeah, I think like that's something that I constantly think about. Try not to get like too engulfed by that thought. But hopefully it's just somewhere where, you know, maybe with the first team where I'm able to just give my best and just be able to be the most effective and work with talented players. That's a big goal for me, that ultimately being with the first team. But obviously being here is really great, and being in the Union Academy is a big thing for me, and it's big to be around the people I'm able to learn from. So at 5 to 10 years, it's more so like just wait and see. Like, what is it?
Yeah, I think the main sort of response I get there is we're all in love with football. So as long as we can be working within football, and I think we all aspire to be at the highest level of the game. And I think that's kind of the two key points to go off of.
For sure. For sure.
All right. Yeah. We'll wrap things up with some quick fire questions here. So first, what was your favorite club growing up?
Favorite club was Arsenal. That was like Edgeford Camp, Invisibles era. Just that's where the kind of the love also came into seeing beautiful football and all that.
Not quite the same as what was it, yesterday or the day before?
Oh my God. Yeah, that's we don't need to talk about that.
No, we'll skip it. Do you have a favorite quote or saying, some phrase that you live by?
Like a big one that I learned many years ago from a friend, which is just like, it's not survival of the fittest, it's like survival of those who can adapt. That's always one I always live by, and just trying to adapt. And also another one's kind of like, hope for the best, prepare for the worst. So just always being prepared, but if good things happen, then it happens.
No, it follows along. You said that you're good at adapting, so those are perfect for you. You've been in Philly now for a little while. Do you have some top recommendations? Where's the best food spot? Somewhere you got to go if you're visiting Philly?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I've been here for a year, and if I say like any cheesesteak place, anybody who's Philly, like a Philly native, is going to kill me. So I'm going to step away from that. But in terms of like the city, I mean, if you just take a walk a day through Center City and just see kind of the museums and historical, you know, figures that have been around this area, I think that's really like a cool thing to do here in Philly.
Yeah, I think the Rocky Steps are always a big one. And then the Philly cheese spot that I went to, I think it was shish kebabs or something.
That's actually something like that. I think it's Ish Knievels. It's like,
yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, it's like a 5-minute walk for me.
No so, way. Okay, I'm, yeah, that I'm, was that was where lot. I went.
Yeah, that's a good awesome. Spot. That is a good spot. I was going to recommend it, but like I said, you know, people might come at me.
No, yeah, as soon as I got to Philly, we asked a few locals, and that was the spot. So that's where I went. It was great. It's sort of hidden. It's not on like the main stretch or anything.
Right, for sure.
Are you a big reader? Do you have a favorite book that you can recommend?
Not the biggest reader, but just one, like it's kind of a book of poems, The Prophet by Khalil Gibran. It just kind of speaks on all the different aspects of life. And that's something that I always keep with me no matter where I travel, just kind of go through that and just see how, you know, big our world is and all the different lines of thought, I guess.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that one. I have to add it to the list. And do you have, we mentioned you took a trip to Mexico to kind of get a break from the footballing side of things, from work. Do you have other hobbies that just, if you're sick of football or you just need a break from everything, do you have something to go to?
Well, like I'm definitely a big sports fan overall. So, you know, it's American football or basketball or baseball. I watch a lot of baseball and I watch a lot of tennis. Both my parents are tennis players, so I kind of always grew up around it. So I watch, yeah, that's probably what I watch the most of, apart from soccer. But yeah, even just like going for walks, like I love to just enjoy the city and go see new things.
And I think in terms of sports, Philly's one of the best cities in terms of an overall structure of sports. They're really solid.
Yeah, I didn't understand that until I got here. Like I didn't understand how like this city is built on sports and like it's live or die, the people here. It's impressive. It's really cool to be around. It's baseball, basketball, football, and soccer a little more now. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's got a good mix. And the last one here, if you could sit down with one person, dead or alive, who would it be and why? And we've changed the question where you're welcome to do sort of one in terms of soccer and one up for anything else?
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I think for soccer, I mean, like a big inspiration for me now is like Ange Postecoglou, just coming from just being an Australian and seeing his journey, and that it wasn't always conventional, but he was patient and maybe didn't get the chances earlier on than he should have, but just being relentless, like with his mentality. That's somebody who I'd love to just sit down with for a day and just pick his mind forever.
No, great choice, Justin. I really appreciate you coming on. It's always a good conversation. Is there any last words you have before we wrap things up?
No, I think it's good. It's a pleasure being on here. It's great seeing you at GA Cup, and yeah, it's really good. We'll be in touch.
Of course, yeah, we'll speak soon. I appreciate it. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks, Chad. We'll be right back.